We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Stephanie Lecce. Before the break, news analyst Bruce Murphy talked about the political implications of the government shutdown and subsequent vote to raise the debt ceiling. He said one Wisconsin politician who may come out of the situation strengthened is Congressman Paul Ryan of Janesville, who is seen as a likely candidate for the Republican nomination for president in 2016. But while Ryan's conservative national credentials may have been burnished, it remains to be seen how his opposition to the debt legislation will play out in the 1st congressional district. At least one Democrat is hoping Ryan's popularity is waning among his constituents. This week, Amar Kalika announced he's formed an exploratory committee to consider a run against Ryan. Kalika grew up in Milwaukee and is the son of the Sikh temple leader who was murdered along with five others at the temple in Oak Creek last year. He tells Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke why he's decided to explore a run for Congress and why now.
I mean, there's a number of reasons. I think a lot of community leaders should think about exploring, searching for office and running for office, because at this point in time, it seems like our government is in need, and it is a great civil service. And I think after many, many people have asked me to do it, I said, okay, I'll start exploring. Let's see what happens.
What do you think people see in you that that they have encouraged you to do this to this point?
You know, I think it's a gambit of a number of things. There's a lot of talents that I do have that many people don't, which is one of them is community organizing. The other is being a successful entrepreneur, looking at the media industry, how many networks I've been able to cross over and connect with far before August 5th. And then August 5th itself, you know, that event opened the nation's eyes as to what were the missteps of our past 20 years of decisions. And Sandy Hook did it as well.
Well, and so what do you see in the shooting at the temple and your father's death as speaking to in a political way?
A number of things. In terms of August 5th, which is far different than Sandy Hook, which is far different than Columbine or Gabby Gifford's assassination attempt, which I call it an assassination attempt because she was discussing progressive ideals with the conservative caucus. In our situation, I saw a lack of race relations. It's something that we've been suffering with in Milwaukee, in the Midwest, for a while now, and it's something that we need to fix. Civility, I see economic disparity in August 5th. I see a lack of gun legislation that should have already been passed 30 years ago. People aren't looking down into the future and seeing we could print 3D guns in a matter of a year coming up, and that means people are going to be able to buy $150 guns for $10. So do you really want that to be the case in the inner city and in places where there are extreme far-right people who have conspiracies about everything? Do you really want them to have as much ammo as they want when they 3D print the guns? I don't think so.
I think people of many political stripes were probably unhappy with the way the standoff played out in Washington over the past few weeks. What do you think the government shutdown and the standoff itself spoke to?
You know, I think you're absolutely right, Mitch. The standoff and the shutdown and even the weak vote that just happened, which, I mean, it was if our success rate is, you know, passing a budget for 4 months, that, I mean, we've lowered our standards so far. And I think the whole of the nation is watching their governmental contract, the trust in the government, rip up right in front of their eyes. And so there's this fever in the nation. There's a fever by people who do know that there needs to be that. There needs to be a connection and a trust if we're going to build more communities, a better civilization, a better government.
For all the hit that many Republicans have taken in the polling data lately, Paul Ryan is a pretty popular politician. You must appreciate that this would be an uphill battle.
You know, and it was a strategy. It was definitely a strategy on the part of the GOP that he would come in with that budget. It's the same budget he's been, you know, pawning around for over, you know, 2 years, which cuts Medicare, which really, really makes senior citizens shudder when they look at it. And yesterday, like I said, I'm exploring. Yesterday, an elderly lady came to me in a conference, in a PTA fundraiser. A bunch of kids were doing a fundraiser for me, and I thought I'd surprise them. I came up, and there was this elderly lady who just ran and hugged me and quoted scripture after scripture after scripture and said, thank God, because what he's about to do, I invested into this program for 30 some years. And what he's about to do is take some of that away.
Let me ask what might seem like an indelicate question. How do you take on attitudes that may well exist out there, that there are probably some people in the district who would take some convincing to pull the lever in the polling place for someone whose name does not sound like all the other politicians out there?
I mean, it took a lot of twisting, a lot of, you know, arm bending, of people coming up to me continuously asking me multiple times, people in positions of power saying, you know what, after you've lobbied on the Hill so effectively, you've done an extremely good job of getting this bill to where it needs to be, even though it didn't pass. The background check bill was a success in terms of turning everybody's eyes to that direction. It's going to be a challenge. It's a David and Goliath matchup. My name is unknown. I'm literally grew up on governmental housing, went to Milwaukee Public Schools, came from one of the poorest regions on the planet, had an immigrant family, ultimately became a product of those public schools and went to Marquette. And I'm a far different pedigree than everybody else that's in Congress. I am the middleman. I am the middle class. And that's effectively why I think they kept coming to me.
You have not held elected office before. What do you respond to people who might say, you know, member of Congress is not an entry-level job. Why not run for another seat first?
So it's funny because the only elected office I've ever held was I was the student government president in my high school, right? And even there, I was asked to do it. I never ran, never touched anything, and I was the captain of the baseball team and played on the basketball team. And ultimately, I look at it as a civil service, right? And there are career politicians, but I think we should get them as far away from leadership and decision-making as possible. If you're a career politician, you should work in a support staff for a community leader. You know, everybody kept wrecking Barack Obama because he was just a community leader. Come on. A community leader? I would love to have the community leaders be more effective in government in D.C. Last time I went to D.C., my God, you look at the prostitution and the drugs and the everything that's going on in D.C. It's a scary place right now.
Well, and so you would see the fact that you have not served as an elected official as kind of qualifications for being an elected official at this point.
Well, I think of it as a badge of honor. Like if you haven't been part of politics, I think you've been doing the best thing over the last 20 years. You've been working in the private sector. You've been working in the government sector in terms of doing the jobs and figuring it out. And ultimately, if somebody pushes you forward and says, hey, we need you right now, sometimes you might have to drop. I mean, this is going to kill 1 year of my business. It's going to hurt me emotionally. People are going to take stabs at me and call me Al-Qaeda and call me names that nobody should ever connect with our religion. And especially after the tragedy and why it even happened. And it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt my family. And so it's a lot of sacrifice.
Do you get tired of having to make the case that Al-Qaeda and your culture are not one and the same thing?
Oh, I mean, the most effective case I've been making is, do you even understand that our American government backs Al-Qaeda? Like, we send them guns. We send them arms because we have so many to sell. And yet, at the end of it, it's interesting because the Sikh culture has, you know, been in that region fighting on the side of democracy for so long. India is the largest democracy on the planet. I wish they were far more effective. We have an unbelievable system in the American democracy. We have one of the modern marvels of the world. Everybody looks at us as a leader and goes, my God, that constitution the founding fathers laid down was law. That was bold. And we're losing it. It's slipping. And I'm here to say, hey, guys, I came to this country. My dad pulled us here because he loved the system. Let's go back and bring it back to the people.
Provided you decide to do this, this is not an official run. You formed the exploratory committee. What are the criteria that you are going to use to make this a definite decision?
It's going to be a subjective one in terms of the criteria that I use. It's going to be based on Facebook likes, Twitter, email subscriptions, how many phone calls, how many people have walked up to me and hugged me and said, look, thank you for running. And when that happens, I think I'll know.
You count hugs.
I count hugs. I count hugs, especially from elderly people.
Do you have a sense for, I mean, again, Paul Ryan is a fairly formidable politician and would be a formidable opponent. Do you have a sense for how much money you think you would need to raise to be able to mount a credible campaign?
I think I would have to raise, in order to mount a formidable campaign, I think I would have to raise far more than I ever could raise. Because Paul Ryan, no matter if you raise $4 million and he has $5 million, he's going to get three more out of nowhere. If you raise $2 million and he has $4 million, he's going to get three more out of nowhere. And everybody can look at that. It's a very transparent record. If the Koch brothers want to do it, they'll do it. And if it's not the Koch brothers, it'll be the oil companies. If it's not the oil companies, it'll be the military companies that have, you know, an infinite number of needs, you know. And so ultimately, after 13 years, we just have to look at Paul Ryan and say, look, he went to Congress with a certain amount of a bank account. And whether or not he's become successful and now he has multi-million dollars to his names, I think we all have to say, look, campaigning should not be about the money. That's not democratic. We can have systems that are in place that are far more democratic. The reason we have to spend so much more money as a Democrat is because Republicans count half votes. They count the fact that if they can suppress voting, they're actually getting a vote. And that's epic. And it's detailed. And there is a strategy that they use. And they're far more cunning than people let on. And in terms of Democrats, we have to pull people out of their seats to vote. That's why we have to use money to pull people out of their seats. They're using their money to defend.
And this does the money part does not necessarily deter you.
The money part scares the bejesus out of me, which it should for anybody that's a community leader that wants to run, especially from a middle-class family. My family's scared of it. I mean, so many different people are scared of it. But I think ultimately we're getting to a time in our civilization where we're becoming a type one society. We're able to use Twitter. We're able to use Facebook, emails, phone calls. I'm able to be in many, many different spots at a very short amount of time. And ultimately, right now, I can also pull from networks that are different parts of the world in parts of the nation, and I'm going to pull on those networks for different things, probably not finances, but at least they're able to help me out.
Well, Amar Kalika, thank you so much. Best of luck to you.
No, thank you so much, Mitch.
Amar Kalika has formed an exploratory committee to consider a run for Congress as a Democrat in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. He spoke with Mitch Teich. Kalika, who grew up in Milwaukee and graduated from Marquette University, has been a documentary filmmaker in California. He's the son of Satwant Singh Kalika, the leader of the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin in Oak Creek, who was murdered along with five others at the temple in 2012. Keep listening. Our Material World segment explores the hidden emotional lives of objects. Next on Lake Effect Weekend from Milwaukee Public Radio.